One of the best ways to earn more money is to start a side hustle. Part of growing your side hustle is working with the best tools to help you succeed. Shopify is here to help. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to did we just hit $1 million order stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify's easy-to-use system allows you to set up a sales page, take payments, and start putting your new ideas and products out into the world with ease. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to help support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/beginners, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/beginners now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/beginners. When it comes to financial advice, you got to trust the source. It's why you listen to this podcast. When I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. Before NerdWallet, I'd pay for vacations with whatever was in my wallet, but I was missing out on miles I didn't even know I was leaving on the table. Now I've got a new card worth more miles and more upgrades. What could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
What's the best way to get started in the market? Download Andrew's ebook for free at stockmarketpdf.com.
Love this podcast because it crushes your dreams of getting rich quick.
They actually got me into reading stats for anything.
You're tuned in to the Investing for Beginners podcast.
Led by Andrew Sather and Dave Ahern.
Step-by-step premium investing guidance for beginners.
Your path to financial freedom starts now.
Starts now.
All right, folks, welcome to Investing for Beginners podcast. Today we have episode 269. Today we're going to answer a three-part question. We got a great question from TJ, and it covers kind of a wide range of different ideas, and we thought this would be kind of a fun conversation. So without any further ado, I will go ahead and start reading TJ's question, and then we'll go ahead and answer it for him. So here we go. I recently purchased your VTI. I love Excel. Nothing gets me more excited than seeing how a workbook flows and works. And I feel I have a good understanding of the version 6.0 and a version 7.2 regarding what each sheet is analyzing. However, when I get companies in the gray area, I am emotionally torn. So I think let's talk about emotionally torn and kind of the gray area. I think that's probably a good place to talk about. And Andrew, I know you had some eloquent thoughts you'd like to share with us.
We'll see about that. Yeah, TJ, totally relate with, you know, being the numbers guy, liking to look at the spreadsheets. Unfortunately, with the stock market, it's not always as black and white as we would like it to be. I think when you're a beginner starting out, it can help to kind of look at the stock market with that lens. And, you know, I come from a background where I grew up playing a lot of chess, and chess is very black and white. Like, there's no ambiguity to if you made a good move or a bad move. After several turns, you'll be able to see if you made a good move or a bad move. But the business world, investing, the stock market, these things are less like chess and more like a game like poker, which I also grew up playing, where you can actually make a very bad move in poker and you can get bailed out by a great card at the turn or the river. And so sometimes when you're playing poker, you might think you're better than you are, because you got lucky. If you're not a poker player or a chess player, maybe you watch some sports and you can see some coach makes a crazy move. And if it works out, everybody calls him brilliant. And if it doesn't work out, everybody calls him dumb. But that doesn't always mean the decision itself was smart or dumb. So when we look at the business world, we have to look at the gray area of it, which means that things aren't always black and white, because it's sometimes uncertain and it can be unfair, but that's just kind of the way the business world works. So we do, while the numbers help us paint a picture, our picture should not be black and white. It should have color.
And I think it's impossible in the world of business, just as in life, to have certainties and uncertainties. It's going to be really, really hard to determine a black and white situation, because when you're dealing with markets, you're dealing with other people and you're dealing with emotions. One person may think is great results for a quarter or a year result. Another person may think that they're not great. And so they will buy in or sell the company based on their thoughts and their feelings. And it's rarely black and white. And especially when you're dealing with thinking about a value of a business over a long period of time, whenever we do any sort of valuation work or think about what could possibly happen, it's not black and white. We don't know for sure that Google will grow at 15.2% over the next 10 years. Nobody knows. We don't know what the future holds, and we don't know how well things are going to go. A perfect example of that is a company like Berkshire Hathaway. The two leaders of the company that have been foundational in growing that business to what it is are older. And Charlie is 99 and Warren is 92. And at some point, they will no longer be working at the company. I don't want to be morbid, but it's coming. And nobody knows how that company is going to react, or investors that own that business. Nobody knows how that's going to impact the future returns of Berkshire Hathaway going forward. We can't say for sure that the company will stay together. We can't say for sure that they will continue doing what they're doing. They may end up becoming, you know, the next big crypto fund. Nobody knows. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but you get what I'm saying. There's so much ambiguity and so much unknown that that's something that you have to learn to, I guess, embrace and understand. And the idea that Andrew was talking about with the football coach, it reminds me of that, the play during the Super Bowl when Pete Carroll of the Seahawks threw that pass against the Patriots and it was picked off, and immediately all the armchair quarterbacks started screaming about what a horrible idea. I was one of them. In the heat of the moment watching the game, it was like, are you nuts? I mean, they had one of the best running backs in the league who had been killing the Patriots the whole game. And that was their physicality. They're really close. This is it to win the game. And they threw a pass. It was intercepted. You know, Tom Brady won again. And everybody was screaming about what a bad decision it was, how lucky Tom Brady was. But in hindsight, when you looked at the actual numbers, which is what Carroll knew, the coach, that all the passes that had been thrown on the 1 yard line or less, it had never been intercepted. And the completion rate was very, very high. And so the likelihood of that play succeeding was extremely high. And just the circumstance, it didn't turn out that way. But it doesn't mean the decision was wrong. The outcome was not great, but the decision was a great decision. And I think when you think about the stock market, you have to kind of think about the same ideas. Sometimes you're going to make great decisions. You're going to find very black, what you think is very black decisions that are super easy for you to make, but then the market's going to interpret it a different way. And so I think with that, there are no certainties. There is no slam dunk investments. There are no slam dunk companies that you can put your money in and it's going to be amazing. I mean, I love Visa as much as the next person, probably even more. But there's no guarantee just because I think it's great that it's going to be a great return over 20 years. So anyway, I'll get off my soapbox. And I just think that I love Andrew's ideas, and I think you need to really listen to what he was saying, and that'll help alleviate some of the stress of thinking about whether something's black or white, embracing some of the gray, I guess. Let's face it, a vibrant sex life contributes significantly to your overall happiness and confidence, but sometimes your hectic schedule doesn't leave room for doctor visits. That's where Hims steps in. With their convenient and discreet online platform, you can receive treatment for erectile dysfunction from the comfort and privacy of your own home. No more waiting rooms, no more awkward conversations, just a simple, direct path to treatment that works around your life, not interrupts it. Hims is changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and 100% online. No uncomfortable doctor visits. Answer a series of questions on their site, and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you for free. No insurance is needed. If ED is getting you down, it's time you join hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/investing. That's hims.com/investing for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/investing. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription needed. Price varies based on product and subscription plan. First, you probably know the bad news already. Mint has shut down. But here's the good news. There's a better alternative. Monarch Money. That's right. Mint users are turning to Monarch Money and loving it. As a finance nerd, you would assume that I have my money game all together. Well, shocker, I didn't, until Monarch Money. Monarch Money allowed me to easily see what is going on with my finances, help me get a better handle on my spending, budgets, and more. It's my go-to app every day, more so than my bank, because I can quickly see where I am with my budgets and spending, allowing me to invest more and spend time on things I want to do. It's my GPS for money. Monarch is a top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. Create custom budgets, set goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now you get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/beginners. Monarch has a tool that allows you to easily import your data from Mint and keep all your tags and categories. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. Change the layout of your dashboard, toggle between light and dark mode, create custom budgets and notifications, set up automatic rules for transactions and notifications, and more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving the product. They release updates every 2 weeks and allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. In fact, Monarch Money is one of the first to bring you direct Apple Card, Apple Cash, and savings syncing with the latest iOS 17.4 update. Now you can sync your wallet directly for seamless budgeting. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it's a top-rated personal finance app. And right now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/beginners. That's monarchmoney.com/beginners for your extended 30-day free trial.
All right, so let's move on to the next part of the question here. All right, so TJ continues, anyways, I'm looking into a stock with what I see as a good potential with the chip crisis. It's Intel. And looking at it based on version 6, it looks like a strong buy, VTI of 174, if I were looking at it at the deep value approach. So I go into the long-term value approach, long-term with a 5% dividend. Sounds like a great time, and I can build the drips to my coffee pots. Loved your analogy. So, Andrew, what are your thoughts on kind of the second part of TJ's question and kind of the, I guess, the deep value approach that he's kind of talking about?
A little bit of context to this. It's a, kind of a longer question, so we're having to split this up a little bit. But he's talking about the VTI, which stands for the Value Trap Indicator. It's a formula I created years ago and have been evolving over time as my approach evolves. The first version, version 6, tries to give you a deep value approach, which is very numbers focused. And it basically tries to find stocks that are hated and are very, very cheap. And then with the understanding that a lot of times the market overreacts to bad news or bad businesses, and the stocks will come up sometimes really quickly. So that's kind of the deep value approach. And I realize that that takes a lot more flipping of rocks. You have to buy a lot more, sell a lot more. And I learned this just doesn't fit what I'm trying to achieve with investing. But it can be valuable for people who want to do that. So I left that as a version people can follow. And so version 7 is more about kind of looking for a company with a long-term approach. Going back to what we were talking about with the black and white versus the gray thing, I almost wonder if you don't mind the activity that comes with buying cheap and selling and buying cheap and selling and buying cheap and selling, if that's almost a better approach for somebody, because you can be very black and white because it's very, you know, as long as you know a company is not going bankrupt, if it's trading at like such a low valuation compared to where it should be, that can be pretty black and white. Just the question is, how long does it take for it to go back to where it should be?
Well, and it also calls into question the amount of activity that you would have to do to, as you were saying, kind of to turn over those rocks. This was kind of the approach that Ben Graham started, and I think Buffett kind of copied early on in their careers, was having a lot of, I guess, cigar butts, and then kind of flipping those when they would start to mature. Walter Schloss, he was kind of famous for that too. And I think there's some merit to that if that is the kind of investing that you want to do. I just think that for me, it would take a lot more effort to continually look for companies like them and kind of turning them over. What are your thoughts on that versus more of a longer term approach? Is the VTI, it kind of sounds like you have two versions of it that kind of can feed both kinds of, I guess, needs, if you will.
I think it's key to remember that the deep value approach, you really need to be super diversified with that. It's hard because in investing, there's a lot of conflicting ideas. And so the idea of focusing on just a few companies is not going to work on a deep value approach. So there's these little details that sometimes can get lost in implementing these strategies successfully that you got to make sure you don't get your wires crossed. Ben Graham, you mentioned a great example with Ben Graham. He bought something like 300 stocks. And so it was like, a lot of those are probably not going to work out, but the ones that do are going to pay for the ones that don't. And because I have 300 of them, I'm solely on the numbers. Kind of going back to that Pete Carroll idea in the Super Bowl, you know, 10 times and he runs that play 9 times, it works out great. But if you have one shot, maybe sometimes the less risky play is to do, you know, especially if somehow they know you're about to throw a pass.
Right.
But from a numbers perspective, so if you're playing the numbers game, you need to truly play the numbers game, which means spreading out and having lots of positions. And I think that's something that sometimes gets lost. But if it's a very black and white thing that you want to try to do, make sure you're doing it. But I think it's a great way to invest. I mean, Patrick O'Shaughnessy has one of the better podcasts in our space, and his firm does that. They do it exactly, and it works very well for him. And it is a long-term approach as well. It's just a very active, very numerical, very black and white long-term approach.
More of a quant kind of idea. Exactly. Yeah, we're basing it more on the numbers as opposed to qualitative things like, you know, how great the manager is idea.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And that may appeal to somebody like TJ who's struggling with the black and white versus more of the gray version. And that may be, so what you're saying is don't buy all bank stocks with this kind of approach.
Right. Yeah, you got to be fully diversified and not just having lots of stocks, but throughout industries as well.
Right. So if you own a portfolio of 3 or 4 companies, this is probably not the best approach to take with that kind of idea.
Yeah.
All right.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Cool. All right, so let's move on to the last part of TJ's question. However, I don't know what to do with this information or where to go from here. I went to the Google, analyzing the emotional side of it, and no one speaks great about Intel and bashes it on their 5% dividend, wondering when it's going to drop to resolve their free cash flow due to the money spent on fabs in 2022. The numbers show that this should not be a good buy, but I feel like it could be. Do I keep my emotions out of this and move on, or what further analysis can I look into to justify the great version 6 results and the subtle red flag into version 7.2? Maybe I need to do a 10-year analysis and it could potentially dilute this one hiccup of 894. That's the number. Torn and confused, TJ. So this is a great last part of the question. So what are your thoughts on this last part?
So to give some last context then, Intel, when he ran this, it scored really, really well on the deep value VTI. The long-term VTI, which the point of that is to kind of look at the business and see if things are deteriorating. And if it is giving you this red flag saying you should probably stay away, it also scored great in the deep value, but it scored not as great on the long term because the balance sheet was going in the wrong direction. And so he's asking, do I go for the deep value approach or do I look at the long term like it's still a good long term? He's basically saying it looks good to him on the deep value approach. He feels emotionally really good about it, but he's confused because the long-term VTI says it could be a red flag and he doesn't see things on the internet that make him feel like he's making the right choice. I guess that's how I would kind of, to give background again to people who aren't familiar with all these terminology. So I know you do own Intel, so maybe I should have you weigh in on this versus me.
Right. So I guess some thoughts. So first of all, since TJ sent us this question, Intel has actually come out and announced that they have cut the dividend by almost 2/3. So it was a huge drop. The stock price didn't react much in the market because I think everybody expected them to. It kind of had to. They really didn't have much choice. The company has been on the struggle bus for several years now. They are trying to attempt a turnaround, and those don't always work out very well. As a matter of fact, I think most, I don't know what the numbers are, but I would say probably most do not. And so I think when TJ goes on the internet to look for positive things to say about Intel, there aren't a lot. A lot of people are very negative on the company, very negative on the management that's leading the company. And because the company, when they announced their quarterly earnings about a month ago, they had the opportunity to say that they were going to cut the dividend then, and everybody would have expected them to because they had a terrible, terrible quarter and they're losing money, and they announced that they're going to be laying off people and that management was taking salary cuts, and they're doing a lot of things to try to conserve money, cash, because they need to spend that money to try to continue their turnaround. And that's all logical. But when they don't announce a dividend cut and then a month later they do, it doesn't look good. And it just looks like they're reacting to something instead of being logical and saying, hey, this is what we're doing. We got a plan. This is what we're trying to do. It just seems a little iffy. So anyway, that being said, the numbers for the company right now are awful and they're losing money. Like Andrew said, the balance sheet is going the other direction. It's not as strong as it once was because their revenues have been dropping consistently over the last few years, and that's leading to deterioration in the balance sheet. And so they're having to use up, think of it like a savings account. They're taking money in their savings account in the balance sheet in the form of assets, and they're using those to try to keep the company going. At some point, they're going to run out of that, and then they'll have to make other decisions about either issuing equity or selling off, you know, getting debt to try to raise money. Anyway, all that to say, the company is on the struggle bus and there's no two doubts about it. And if you look at the version 7.2, it's giving you a red flag because of all the things I'm talking about. Everything is going in the wrong direction. Segment-wise, all the segments are down. The revenues are down. They're cutting the dividend, which they need to do. Their free cash flow is down. I've also read, which is more quantitative or qualitative, I've read that they're losing a lot of people. A lot of their top talent is fleeing the company because they're losing, you know, money is going down and they're going to other companies that are doing well because they can make more money. And so they're seeing a talent drain, and that doesn't bode well either. So those are all things that I think can certainly put me on it's more than just a subtle red flag to me. It's a lot of red flags, and I haven't made a decision yet on what I want to do with the company, but there hasn't been a lot of good news recently about the company. And so for me, I would not buy it right now. And I'm certainly not putting more money into the company right now because I haven't seen anything from the management that indicates to me that this turnaround that they're attempting is starting to move in the right direction. Think about it, them as the Titanic trying to steer around that iceberg, and it's coming, and the iceberg is bankruptcy, and it's coming, and they're trying to steer around it. I'm just not sure they're going to make it yet. And so for me, I'm not going to put more money into a situation like that, but I'm not going to sell yet. But it's just, those are all things that would give me pause. Now, I guess let's talk to the deep value investor in Andrew. Would you, you know, if you were looking at the company based on, you know, more of a deep value approach, what would be your considerations with the company?
It would be that you're trying to find five companies or 10 companies or 20 companies like this. Mm-hmm. And like you said, even if 9 out of 10 of them don't work out, one of them could turn it around so well. And if Intel ever returned to its former glory, I mean, that's an easy, triple, quadruple plus.
Oh, yeah.
And a huge long-term compounder. So that's just kind of the way the math works behind it. So if I was a deep value guy, which I'm not anymore, that would be how I would try to approach it.
It's not easy. And this is what makes investing a challenge. And mostly it's not about the numbers. It's about our mental state of mind and what we think could happen with the company and how we would react to that. And, you know, one of the things you could think about with Intel is, do you want to wait for that turnaround to happen? It may take 3, 4, 5 years for this to happen. And you have to ask yourself, is that something I'm willing to wait for? Now, from a deep value approach, it could turn around faster in regards to the stock price. If there's, you know, if they start to see a little glimmer of hope, it could start to improve the metrics and the market will react to that. But if things continue as they are, you could be in for a long, long, long wait. But that's what makes investing hard.
Well, if I could paint one more shade of gray onto this, I feel that we've talked a lot about your Intel, and I think it's natural to talk about companies that have burned us. But I also know around the same time that you were talking about Intel, you're also talking about a company like Prudential and a company like Berkshire, where I remember back then there was also not, I wouldn't say it was like negative, but there was a like negative, especially around the whole insurance thing, because everybody was freaked out about the pandemic.
Right.
But you looked at those numbers and you said, everything's going in the right direction for Prudential. Everything's going in the right direction for Berkshire. So I'm also going to buy these companies. And that turned out really, really well.
Yeah.
So, you know, looking at one situation where the numbers don't work out for you is maybe not a great way to evaluate if these things can work out, especially because something like technology is so, for lack of a better word, like a whirlwind of outcomes. Whereas something like insurance, it's not so hard. If they booked a lot of business last year, they can book a lot of business next year. And you wonder if that's why Buffett's really stayed to really simple businesses, because those numbers mean a lot more.
Yeah, they do. Those are all great points. And that's the beauty of investing, is you can find lots of great choices and stuff. And you just have to kind of stick to what you know and try to improve on a daily basis. And hopefully, TJ, we helped answer your question. So if you have any questions about anything that we talked about today, we threw some jargon at you today and we tried our best to explain it. But if there's something that slipped through that you're not familiar with, check out our website, einvestingforbeginners.com. Big, huge search bar on top there, 1,200 articles. Just type in what you're not sure about and you'll find something that can relate to that, that can help you learn more about a particular topic. It's a great resource for you to help learn more about investing. That's why we put it all there. So without any further ado, I'm going to go ahead and sign us off. You guys go out there and invest with a margin of safety, emphasis on the safety. Have a great week, and we'll talk to y'all next week.
We hope you enjoyed this content. 7 Steps to Understanding the Stock Market shows you precisely how to break down the numbers in an engaging and readable way with real-life examples. Get access today at stockmarketpdf.com. Until next time, have a prosperous day.
The information contained is for general information and educational purposes only. It is not intended for a substitute for legal, commercial, and/or financial advice from a licensed professional. Review our full disclaimer at einvestingforbeginners.com.